Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Cores and Courts podcast. It's been a while. Holiday break. I had COVID. I was going to do a podcast last week. Could barely speak. Hopefully my voice isn't too grating and I make it to the end of this one. So no better way to come back, get back in the groove of things with someone who's been on the show before. Luis Bronder is back from abroad after a crazy NFL week. We're down to the last season. Let's just get right back into it, Luis. Let's talk some football. How you doing, man?
Sean. Man, I love it to be back here. Let's get straight into it. I'm pumped as hell for some reasons after that game day. Maybe it's because Cardinals got back to winning ways. But there are some other storylines that we really need to talk about. I'm good. I'm glad that you are back on a good health level too. Appreciate so it. Let's get straight into it.
Yeah, unlike most of the league, it seems. But hopefully They either throw out all the rules that they came up with or they get their stuff together and the playoffs won't be as warped as the past couple of seasons that we've, or past couple of weeks that we've had. So yeah, let's get go ahead.
First we can say that COVID really fucked up the fantasy game this year. Man, I'm so pissed. I went the first seed in our fantasy league for like the whole season and now I finished fourth. Like that's fucked up.
Was this your first fantasy season?
It was my second, actually.
Second, yeah. So welcome to fantasy. The team who's the best all season never wins. It's just a crapshoot. It's ridiculous. Welcome to fantasy. That's how it goes. You get fully indoctrinated even without COVID. That's how it usually goes. So let's start with the Rams. My team, honestly, looking good. They're a game away from clinching the division. If they win next week, they get the NFC West crown. Ahead of your Cardinals. Cardinals still alive if the Rams lose. But everything's looking well. This team's doing well, especially defensively. Von Miller's fitting in nice. Odell finally, you know, that catch on fourth down was insane. Showing his old skills again. He scores the game-winning touchdown. They're working him back in. Cooper Kupp setting all these records. But I'm scared. I'll be honest with you, Luis. Everything looks good except for Matt Stafford. He's going to lose the Rams the playoff game. I can already see it coming. He leads the league in pick sixes. He has more pick sixes than Aaron Rodgers has interceptions. Somehow he's still just old Matt Stafford. He puts himself in these holes and turns it around at the end and, you know, creates, I think it was like 14 of 14 on the last two drives in that Ravens-Rams game. But he puts himself in the holes that they need these miracles. It's all his own doing. And I'm really, really nervous that, you know, the run game's starting to groove a little bit with Michelle. Maybe they get some contributions out of Akers. Like we said, Odell looks good fitting in next to Cooper Kupp. Everything looks right for this team, minus, you know, Jalen Ramsey slapping people in the face. But we'll get past that. We'll get the team dynamics together. I'm just scared Matt Stafford's going to pick six us to death in a crucial moment, and that's going to be the end of this Rams run for one of the most talented, if not the most talented team in the NFC. Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Nah, man. If I was you, I would be scared too. I mean, the thing with Matt is the throws he make are the ones to be excited about. Like when he connects with Kupp or with OBJ now, those are the ones you really get into this whole Rams thing. But the throws he don't make, I mean, just the number. Stafford with his 15th interception on the year and his fourth pick six. He leads the league with that, man. And that's and just as that, Stafford has 11 interceptions since November. So that whole thing really started in the second part of the season, let's say. And those are the second most behind Josh Allen in that time span. So yeah, he's putting Rams really in positions they don't necessarily need to be in, with some bad throws, bad connections, bad reads off the defense, bad looks. I don't know. I don't really got into this the whole way, but as you said, everything else is looking good. Sonny Michel really getting into his groove as a running back, really stepping up the running game for the Rams. OBJ with his fifth reception in 7 games. I mean, when you just look back the last 2 years with Cleveland, he never had 4 or more reception touchdowns in each year, and now he has his fifth already with the Rams. And also Cooper Kupp, I mean, he's putting up big-time numbers all the year. We talked about that earlier, but just to mention, Kupp surpassed Julio Jones and Antonio Brown for the third most receptions in a single season in NFL history. Those are records. They are insane. So what the Rams really need to figure out is how to get Matthew confident
enough.
Stop turning
the ball over.
Just get him better at protecting the ball and not turning it over. And of course, not in such crucial positions where the interceptions lead to pick sixes. I mean, 4 pick sixes. That's
like he's trying
scary.
To, you know, like more pick sixes than Aaron Rodgers has interceptions.
Maybe he's like, man, it would be too easy with this loaded offense to win the games like big time. He wants to make it a little more close.
Yeah, and you've seen some of their close games. You know, it's not like they're in shootouts. You know, this offense has this kind of identity of being high flying and stuff when it's clicking. You know, they score a lot of points because people remember that one season where they made the Super Bowl, that game against the Chiefs where it was like, you know, 50 to whatever. But that's not really how this Rams team is going. When the offense is clicking and stuff, they kind of win games in the 20s. And, you know, if they're blowing teams out, okay, they blew a team out and then they get up in the 30s and 40s. But those are against the bad teams. There are no more bad teams anymore. They get the Niners this week, who's probably a playoff team. We'll see what happens there. They always play them tough. Kyle Shanahan schemes really, really well against Sean McVay's teams. And then
we've seen that in the first game.
Yeah, true. And then the playoffs start, and those are going to be the best of the best. So these aren't going to be the easy teams where they can blow them out anymore. The Rams, when they win games, kind of win in those 20s. So one pick six in a playoff game could be, well, obviously it's devastating always. That's not groundbreaking rocket science there, but it's going to be crucial. And that's the one part I worry about this Rams team. And you look at, you know, it's a very easy analysis that we do with, well, which quarterback do you trust? You know, we've kind of had debates all season, right? We talked about it the last time we did it with Harrison. You guys have been going back and forth, you know, guys like Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott, these are going to be two playoff quarterbacks, but you know, which one do you trust more? Right now, Stafford is kind of the weak part of that. Like, I don't know. The one part you look at the Rams is how much do you trust them? He's a veteran. He's been around a while, but he doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. Obviously all those years just wasting away in Detroit. So that's the part I'm nervous about. We'll see how it goes. Obviously I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic than you, but those stats you gave me about this offense is clicking, but Stafford's interceptions could be the backbreaker. So I'm a little bit nervous, trying not to think too high, not thinking already Super Bowl because this team's on a roll right now. So let's go to another team that's a Super Bowl contender.
Let me first bring one more thing up about that Rams-Ravens game. Mm-hmm. I've said it once before and I'm going to say it again. This is going to be a Justin Tucker appreciation story. This man is a legend and I'm going to give him appreciation wherever I can.
He deserves it. Go ahead.
He's now made 57 straight field goals in the fourth quarter, which is the longest active streak in NFL history. And he, at the last game day, he set up 30 plus made field goals in a season for the 7th time. And just listen to that. No other kicker in NFL history has made that more than 5 seasons. So that's just amazing. He's the all-time GOAT in kicking. He keeps on putting up those numbers and he's so important for the Ravens. I mean, you saw that in the last drive of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, Von Miller got to Huntley, sacked him, and the game was over. But the Ravens just needed one more first down.
Yeah, I was nervous, man. They only had to get to midfield.
Yeah, just to get to midfield, to get in those 60-yard field goal range, which is a pretty comfortable one for Justin Tucker. So that's such a...
I thought they were going to lose.
Yeah,
honestly, that's because of him.
If Von Miller didn't get there and Huntley made the first down, could be a different outcome of the game. So that just shows how important a kicker like Justin Tucker is for team like the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, like how early would you pick him amongst other skill players? I like it. Bring in the kicking stats. Much love for Justin Tucker, the GOAT. Cooper Kupp's not the only record setter in that game. So let's go to a team with some good special teams. They showed a pretty cool special teams play. One of the best, maybe the catch of the year.
Catch of the year.
It was Banjo, I think it was the thrower to, I don't even know who caught it, but
Ward.
Yeah, there we go. Some crazy things happening with the Cardinals. Kyler Murray goes into his favorite stadium in the country, apparently undefeated in Texas Stadium back in his high school days. And when he played with Texas A&M in Oklahoma. So maybe you want to see, if you're a Cardinals fan, maybe you want to lose and you want to see that 4-5 matchup. Don't win the division. You could play the Cardinals, the Cowboys again, since Kyler Murray is so comfortable in that building. But what do you think of the Cardinals? I'll let you take it from here. Obviously, it was a close game. This is games that they usually kind of throw away in the second half, especially this month of the season. That's been the calling card the main criticism of Cliff Kingsbury. Always struggling down the stretch. This was a one where you thought the Cowboys are on a roll. The offense is clicking. The defense is creating turnovers. Two defensive player of the year candidates in Diggs and Parsons, even though advanced stats show that Diggs is like the worst cornerback in the history of
football. He gave up over 1,000 yards in coverage this season. This is the most for a corner in the NFL. That's crazy.
He's just a ball hawk. He's risking for the biscuit. Yeah. If he gets the pick, turns it back, maybe returns it for a touchdown, makes plays, but otherwise he's going to leave you hanging and leave the rest of his defense. So it's kind of like Matt Stafford, right, where all his throws are amazing. So like the plays that he does make is amazing, but you think this might be the guy who ruins everything for us because he just can't help himself and likes to do the risky thing. So kind of same similarities there, but so that's kind of like the Cowboys side, but I want to get to the Cardinals side. The bounce back. Are you back in? Have you seen enough? Have they gotten rid of all the bad juju from December late in the season? Cliff Kingsbury's got it turned around. Kyler Murray's back. This Cardinals team is ready to make a run into the playoffs and be the team we saw in the first half of the season.
I mean, first of all, of course, I'm happy for that win to end that three-game losing streak. Pretty unnecessary, especially. But as you mentioned, Cliff always struggling to finish the season strong. Let's see how week 18 turns out now. But all the season I said the Cardinals are a strong contender for the Super Bowl or a strong favorite to playing Super Bowl in the NFC. For the NFC side, I'm stepping a bit away from this because right now Cardinals are to the gap to the full striking power of that team is too big. Maybe if they can get D-Hop back, which is not out of reach for the Cardinals in the postseason, it would be a different thing. And if you get James Conner and Chase Edmonds on the field together as two running backs, which situation they don't had that much this year, it would be a different thing. Maybe there still is a chance that J.J. Watt is getting back in the postseason for the conference final in the Super Bowl. That would be a huge impact. But right now, as it stands, I think the team lacks too much of firepower to really be a strong contender for the Super Bowl. But still, as I said, I'm happy to win that game against Dallas, which everyone talked about as the man. They figured it out on offense. They got rolling against Washington. And I think Arizona stepped up big time on defense, really shut that offense down. Dak was still looking a bit insecure again. And I really got to say I want to bring up three big storylines about that game.
Okay.
The first, of course, is the big catch, as you named it, on that fake punt. That was a genius move. Benjamin throws it on the fake punt to Ward, and he makes that helmet catch, best catch of the year, no doubt about it. I won't let someone argue with that.
I have no argument either.
And the second storyline I bring up is a huge coaching job. I don't know if you recognize it, but on a crucial 4th-and-2, I think, in the red zone, in the Dallas red zone, Arizona sent out Kyler Murray and kicker Matt Prater on the field.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, so the Dallas defense got so confused, had to take a timeout, a very crucial timeout. So you got the kicker and the quarterback, you don't know, are they going for it or are they kicking? So that was a pretty nasty move, and they practiced.
You think it was intentional? You think they did that on purpose?
Yeah. Yeah, Cliff said after the game they run that in practice. Okay. And it was such a crucial takeaway of a timeout. Yeah, because so the Dallas Cowboys hadn't had a chance to challenge that that fumble,
which was Chase a fumble,
Edmonds, which was a fumble as we know, but it was out of the two minute range, and they had no more timeout, so they can't challenge that. And that was the key moment in the game. So
true.
Big time. And of course, Kyler Murray going 8-0 at AT&T Stadium from high school to college to the NFL. He's just feeling pretty comfortable. But to your question, I still do not want to get that fifth seed and play against the Cowboys.
I was going
to
ask.
Because I think it's pretty hard because to play the same team in such a short time period, I think.
Hard to beat a team twice, they say.
Yeah. Just in a year, and then in 3 weeks, that would be pretty hard. So the best scenario that can happen for me on the next game day is Rams loss, Bucks loss, and Dallas loss. Cardinals clinched the second seed, and But let's see what happens.
And you get probably San Francisco or New Orleans, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. A third time around with the 49ers. That's obviously two teams that are really familiar with each other. I'd be itching to play the Saints. You know, Sean Payton has all that experience. The defense is pretty solid, but offensively, they look like an absolute mess. Taysom Hill's throwing picks everywhere. Ian Book looked lost when he was out there. They don't really have any options. That's super, super winnable game if you somehow luck into playing that Saints team. All right, so let's go to the team at the top ahead of both of our teams. He's not here, so we don't have to brag about the Packers. We can just say that Aaron Rodgers is amazing. They lock it up. Cold weather. I don't understand how this man isn't fazed by... He was talking about it on like the Manning broadcast anymore. He's like, I'm not just cold. You know, I'm not immune to it. I just know that the other team's more cold than I am because, you know, we've been around it a little bit longer. And you look at kind of all the other teams in this NFC at the top, they're all warm weather teams. You got, you know, LA, Arizona, Dallas, and Tampa. So it's going to be hard for any team that goes up there. I mean, we've seen, you know, Eli Manning's done it in the past. We've seen Brady do it before, but just as somebody who doesn't do well in cold, anytime I watch one of those games, you know, I have some enjoyment of it. But now that I've lived through a real winter thinking like, and played football in it once, like it's not fun. Like catching a ball that's just hard as a rock. You saw it kind of with that Minnesota game where no one looks happy to be there. You know, it's just kind of more a battle of attrition. And I'd be a little bit nervous that Packers team is so good. They might get some guys back with Bakhtiari and Alexander and Cobb. If they can get just a couple of those guys back, I'd be really, really nervous. I'm scared that all of our teams, Luis, are going to lose. Not that I'll be that mad because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is fun to watch. But Harrison's going to have a lot of trash to talk because I think this Packers team pretty much just clinched up a Super Bowl trip. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I think if you got it as a team, then you got it. If you got that killer instinct, then you're going to kill your opponent everywhere. Doesn't matter if it's at Lambeau, snowing, like minus degrees stuff, or if it's at the south, warm weather. If you're the better team, you win. I mean, Tom Brady and the Bucks showed that last year. They came to Lambeau and they won that game. And I think the playoff record at home for the Green Bay Packers is 7-6. So I think there isn't that much of a amazing home field advantage for them due to the weather, because the record is pretty equal.
I mean, yeah, they've only been to one Super Bowl and they've been really, really good many, many times. Yeah. So
I think if you're the better team, if LA, if Arizona, if Tampa is the better team on that day, they're going to win it. I mean, of course, it's hard if you're playing the South on the West Coast, the sun all the time, and coming up to Lambeau where it's snowing. Of course, it's not that easy maybe, but the better team's going to win. And
the German in you, the German and the athlete in you says, doesn't matter, no excuses. No, get out there, still succeed. I've run in cold weather before, so can you, right?
That's right. that's how I'm feeling.
True. I think just even, I mean, Dylan has looked pretty good offensively. Obviously, they need Bakhtiari back. It would be a huge, huge help to keep Rodgers upright in that run game. You know, it's kind of what you need in a cold weather game like that. But that combination, when it gets going, of Adams and Rodgers is still the best in the league. You know, you can throw Jalen Ramsey at them if you're the Rams. You can throw, definitely no one on the Bucs has any corners that's going to stop that. Maybe if you throw, obviously, we just talked about Diggs is going to be a huge, huge game for Adams if that's the matchup for them. I don't even know what the Cardinals' back end is pretty solid, but they're more, their defense kind of relies on the front. I don't even know who your best corner would be to kind of lock him down, but I don't see, just matchup wise, anybody stopping that offense, that two combination, and then combined with, you know, all the other intangibles and stuff going on there. I think really it is the Packers' year to finally do it. You know, maybe Rodgers' last run up in Green Bay. But that's kind of my takeaway. They're, I think, separated themselves, and then the next four teams are in their own little pack right behind them. But I'm really excited to see how this NFC unfolds. Before we switch over to the other conference, let's talk about the Bucs. Antonio Brown, obviously,
let us
a clown.
Let us
go ahead. Say something, Sean, about the Packers.
Let us. Yeah, that first, I gotta say one more thing. But to the Vikings, you saw that. You saw that tremendous catch from Vikings center Garrett Bradbury.
Oh yeah.
Where he just the ball got
fingertip grab
off the hand, off the hands. I went back to the line, and the center just, without thinking, grabbed the ball, ran forward for 21 more yards, breaking through contact. that was, but you gotta say he played a tight end in high school and college,
yeah.
So he knows what to do. But still an impressive thing. And to that point, I mean, okay, Kirk Cousins out, so the sort of throwing game is pretty weak with the Vikings last week. But to that time, it's the longest catch of the Vikings, the 21 yard. Reception
in that game
center, yeah.
that pretty much explains how the Vikings season has gone, kind of how that offense is going. Where if you're I mean, it was an athletic play, and it's hard to, maybe they should run it more. It's hard to tackle a guy like that, give him the ball. He looked pretty good in the open space, but yeah, that's your best play. You know, it was a long, long year.
At least season. Gives you one more option in the offensive game.
Yeah, so. Right. Well, we'll see if Mike Zimmer's still around to call a play like that. Maybe he gets crazy because he's going to get fired.
Maybe.
Next week they'll do some razzle-dazzle, give Bradbury the ball. So that's before we switch over. Yeah, go ahead.
What I want to say before when we get to the Buccaneers, let's first talk about the game and to give them the appreciation they deserve for winning that thing with all the distraction. And let them get.
They deserve no credit. They played the Jets. That game shouldn't have been close. They should have been way up. What the heck were they doing? I don't care about all their injuries. They got lucky that Zach Wilson misread a stupid snap on 4th-and-2. Instead of running the sweep, he runs a QB sneak from 2 yards out. He forgot how short he was.
It was the call. What do you do as a rookie quarterback? When the call comes to do a quarterback sneak, no matter how bad that call is, you're going to do it, I think.
So. Yeah, but I think there was a read there. I think he read the front and thought like, oh, I got this. You know, kind of Brady maybe. Does where there's a snap. There's, you know, it's a handoff or go forward. He thought he was Tom Brady. Saw him over there. He's like, oh, I'm going to do Tom Brady's move against Tom Brady. And it didn't work. And you kind of knew. I thought it wasn't going to work. Because like when Brady gets the ball on that drive, you think, oh my God, here we go again. He's going to do it. And then they had a couple incompletions. You see who he's throwing to. It's like Johnson and Cyril, whatever his name is, the guy who catches the game winning touchdown. Yeah, Grayson. Cyril
Grayson Jr. Interesting story about him. I read today that the Bucs receiver didn't even play college football. He just was a track. He just was a star track athlete at LSU. And had no college football season.
Okay, that
no
makes sense. Because I looked up his roster. Like, as soon as he catches that touchdown, I look him up. I was like, who the heck is that guy? And then it said LSU. And I was like, how do I not remember him at LSU? I can name, every LSU wide receiver. Because they've been so good for so long. He didn't play football.
He didn't play football.
He's doing it with beating this Jets team. That's great.
So in that moment, I thought, man, maybe there's hope for me to get in the league as a receiver. Maybe catch that game-winning touchdown.
There's a couple of Germans out there. I think there was one playing for Michigan. We had Werner was, you know, He's been out there. I don't think we've ever had a German wide receiver, but Germany has a little bit of a pipeline. There's a chance.
Yeah, but you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown of the Lions.
Yeah,
he is half German. His mother's German.
Well, that family's interesting. Playing. I don't know if you've read anything about their dad.
Yeah,
this is literally like you think
He was a bodybuilder. Made them train for 5 years.
Yeah,
all day. That's a crazy story.
And his brother's named like Equinemius, and obviously naming kids after pharaohs to make sure that they become something. Yeah, there's a different level of determination.
Yeah, Equinemius playing at USC right now, I think. Still has a bright future in front of him. So
yeah. No, that's the youngest brother. Equinemius is plays for Green Bay.
Yeah.
He's the one that went to Notre Dame. Yeah. And then they have a third one coming who has some other crazy pharaoh name or something.
Exactly.
So yeah, this Bucs team, obviously we'll talk about the guys that are on the field and the one who ran off of it, Antonio Clown, being Antonio Clown again. I do want to give him, you know, a lot of stuff's been coming. It's been a huge debate of, I don't know, people love to play doctor on Twitter and like to prove themselves right, whatever. I mean, he has a very long history of repeated just knucklehead behavior. And this was another instance of it. You want to give at least some benefit of the doubt, because I mean, it's like when I see all of the things that he does, and you kind of we've read that long list that everybody put together on Reddit that Harrison shared with us.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. But it kind of reminds me of, you know, like what Kanye West has done and kind of the things that have come his way, his headlines. And he finally took a step out and said, you know, I've been struggling, when he was finally hospitalized, that he was struggling with an actual mental health disorder, struggling with bipolar depression. And a lot of these signs, like, of course, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not trying to diagnose anyone, but you do feel a little bit bad for him because there's a lot of similarities there. And if Antonio Brown would just come out and kind of, you know, be honest for once, instead of in the way that he does kind of use his public space, maybe you'd give him a little bit some slack and just try and have some understanding of what he's doing. But every time he does something, it's kind of always a knucklehead reaction. And he is very easy to, you know, just call him a clown, because what he did was clownish. It was absolutely hilarious, but also ridiculous. If you heard the interview with like the guy who was driving him around, who picked him up afterwards, like one of his friends, and he was saying like, yeah, the guy was just going off, FaceTiming everyone, saying like how good this was for his brand and like his clout. And you're like, what? This guy is clearly just lost. And you feel a little bit bad because he seems like somebody who's just lost. And it was weird, the football side of it, they didn't cut him yesterday, so he's technically still on the team. I don't know what the Bucs are doing there. Obviously, Arians comes out, you know, after saying, don't ask me any questions, he's back on the team. Now it's, don't ask me any questions, he's off the team. So I don't know what's going on there. Brady obviously likes him. They have Le'Veon Bell there, who's one of his really good friends and kind of went to bat for him. So I don't know what you want to talk about the Antonio Brown thing. That's kind of my two cents on it. I do want to give him a little bit benefit of the doubt. There is that mental health thing, that mental health aspect of it that has become such a part of sports now, thanks to the, you know, kind of the brave people like Osaka and DeMar DeRozan and Kevin Love and Lane Johnson and all these people coming out and being outspoken about the toll that, you know, being an athlete at this level can take. And so, yeah, this Bucs team on the field, super, super injured. I think that's what's going to hold them back. But before we get to the football side of stuff, if you want to talk about Antonio Brown, or if you want to talk about the chances of this Bucs team, the Super Bowl champions of last year, when they weren't really good last year and somehow made that playoff run. So maybe we could see the same thing again, because it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, maybe got one or two things to say about that whole AB situation.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I really got to say that no one from the outside should be talking about his mental health. I mean, of course, there are signs and stuff, but we all are not doctors and stuff like that. So I think all those people writing "get help" and stuff like that, I mean, we are not into the position to judge him on
that. Yeah, exactly.
On that basement, I think. But one thing, and I've already told you that I have a really strong opinion about, is that he, in my opinion, shouldn't even be on the field anymore after this whole fake vaccination card thing, because that's a thing that has, I don't know, but not that much to do with mental health stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To just cheat your team, put out, not just use a fake vaccination card for yourself, but also hand it out to other teammates. I don't know if you read about it, but do you know John Franklin III? Is that name popping up to you?
Yeah.
You know,
like Mizzou for a while, right?
Nah, he was, I don't know, but he was on the Netflix show, Last Chance U.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, first season, so. And then was with the Bucks as a free agent, turned from quarterback to wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce Arians always had a pretty strong opinion on him, such a talented boy. So, and you have those big star players like AB who can take a shot and get a positive impact on those young players, very talented, but maybe with a hard, difficult background. But instead, he hands out a fake vaccination card to them. And of course, Antonio Brown survived that situation, but John Franklin, the third, for example, does not survive. He got cut by the team. So
yeah.
He's without a job now.
Yeah, kind of like, like I was saying, that comparison with Kanye, his AB's talent is so ridiculous that it's carrying him through a lot of things that, like you said, other people wouldn't get the chance to survive.
And I mean, NFL running all those things like the Inspire Change campaign, which is such a big thing in the NFL, like on the TV spots and stuff like that. But when you really have the chance to put someone out of the league who made a bad impact, a bad change, you don't do it because AB is such a, he is a good player. He's talented. But the last thing I want to say is that he has now proven that he's no longer trustable, that he doesn't hold himself accountable. I mean, I don't know about that whole ankle injury situation, which he brought up after the game. I don't know if he was able to play. Bruce Arians said that he doesn't know, that he haven't known about any injury of his ankles.
I mean, he looked fine running off the field, right? So
yeah, so talented. I mean, as a player in the NFL, you need, of course, talent. You have to play good, but you also have to be trustable. Your team have to rely on you, and he's proven now that that there's no relying on him. So I don't think we will ever see him again in this league.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. It will be interesting if somebody takes a chance. So anything else on the NFC teams? Any other storylines before we get to the AFC things you wanted to talk about as we wrap it up here?
No.
Jump over to the other side of the league.
I'm good to go to the AFC.
All right, let's do it. Let's jump to a team that AB used to play for, but never actually saw the field. A lot of this debacle and was when this team was on Hard Knocks. That is the Raiders. Absolutely insane season. You want to talk about drama, everything that's happened with them there. Obviously, John Gruden, the emails, he gets fired. He's counter-suing. And the tragedy that happened with Henry Ruggs and the interim coach. And you've had, up and down injuries with this team. Arnett gets, cut from the team. They've had so many distractions. Derek Carr finds a way to somehow turn this team into one game away from the playoffs with a guy like Hunter Renfro, who's like Cooper Kupp light, just catches everything, makes plays down in the later games. Do you think this Raiders team is for real, Luis? Are they going to win? Are they going to beat the Chargers? Are they going to make the playoffs? Can they win a wild card round game? What are your thoughts on this Raider squad?
I mean, first of all, it's impressive that they beat the Colts, who really had a run in the NFL the last weeks, which obviously leaves them with a very, very interesting matchup next week against the Chargers. Both team win and in. Have you heard that if they tie the game, they are both in? So they maybe just agree. Yeah, the scenario is that if Chargers... Raiders is tight, they are both in the playoffs, so maybe they just
God, I love that. Could you imagine if they like conspire together to just tie and you're looking at the end and we'll both just stop at 17-17 and we're gonna throw interceptions to each other and sorry Colts, you're out.
Yeah, because that wouldn't leave a chance for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get into the playoffs. And if the Steelers win, I mean, let's just get into the Steelers clinching scenario. The Steelers can clinch the playoffs if they win against the Ravens. Mm-hmm. If Jacksonville wins against the Bills,
the Colts,
which
good luck.
Yeah, and if Raiders Chargers is not tied, then the Steelers get in, and if the Chargers and Raiders won't take a chance of not getting in, maybe they're just agreeing on a good tie and both.
And then the Colts are out, right? The Colts are eliminated no matter what happens.
The Steelers are eliminated then.
I know, but I'm saying, say the Chargers and the Raiders tie.
Yeah.
Then they still need the Colts to lose, or?
No, I don't. No, then the Colts are out of.
Oh, off. That'd be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. So, but what was the point I was coming from?
I don't know. You're talking about the Raiders.
Ah, the Raiders. Yeah. No, so that's pretty interesting about and it is the final game of the regular season, Sunday night.
Yeah. You going to stay up?
I'm definitely going to stay up, for sure. So you talked about Hunter Renfrow. This guy is just amazing. First 1,000-plus receiving yards receiver since Cooper and Crabtree in 2016 for the Raiders. So he really put up numbers. Yeah. And you mentioned it with all the distraction that came to the team in the locker room, outside the locker room. I mean, I just read today in the morning that another player got arrested for stuff, I don't know, from the Raiders side.
Oh, didn't somebody get in a fight with like a Walgreens employee or something? Yeah. I don't know. There was a DUI immediately after the Colts game. It was one of their corners. Yeah. I forgot who it was, but yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, yeah. It's just the Raiders thing. but so much distraction and the fact that they're still in the run for the playoffs is insane. I mean, I don't know about you, but if they not agree to tie the game, I still got the Chargers on that.
I agree. I think LA wins that game. I trust Herbert and that offense more than, although Derek Carr's shut a lot of people up. He's been playing pretty well. If Derwin James is out there, I think maybe he can make a play or two. Although that Chargers defense has allowed like 20 plus points in a ridiculously long streak of games. So the defense isn't great despite Bosa and James, but I think James can take away a lot of things that the Raiders like to do. They don't have a great, great run game. Eckler is a little bit better of an option than Jacobs is. So if you made me pick, I definitely would take the Chargers. I'd probably even take them with the, I don't know what the spread is, but I'd probably lay the points with them as well. That's kind of how confident I am because the Raiders are going to Raider, right? And that might be more strong of a force than the Chargers being the Chargers and screwing it up. So yeah, I believe in Justin Herbert. But they look pretty good against Denver. I would take LA.
Yeah, but still all the credit, all the respect to the Raiders, how they managed the whole situation, keeping calm, keeping it cool, even without some, obviously, some key players.
Yeah, insane.
And I want to get into that nearly hilarious touchdown run by Hunter Renfrow in the fourth quarter of the game.
It should have counted. I mean,
yeah, you know, have you seen why they turned it over? Because the defender fingertipped his shoe.
Yeah,
so that's stupid. Why they called it. That's why they called him down by contact. And
there were so many of these. I was talking to this about my dad. The refs just need to stop. They took away a great punt return touchdown for the Chiefs. They took away, obviously, the debacle at the end of that game with the Bengals. There was another great play they took away, too, that was like a touchdown. The Matt Ryan touchdown that they take away. Matt Ryan's running, okay? Matt Ryan ran it in for a touchdown. Give him the touchdown. Don't say his knee is down. And then they count the Tom thing on a play that didn't even happen. I don't understand.
I honestly felt so good for Matt Ryan to run that TD, but they took it away. And in those situations, I had a crazy idea. I wish that the coaches would not just have a flag for challenging a play. They also need a flag for some effort bonus on a play, you know? if a player shows tremendous effort on a play, which got turned over by inches, by nothing, you know, if you maybe make a tremendous catch in the end zone.
I like it. It's the style points veto. You just throw it out there like, no, play counts because it was cool. It's the because it was cool flag.
Just give him an effort bonus. Okay, the tiptoeing was a millimeter on the line, but the catch was tremendous, hilarious, good.
I like that.
You gotta give it to him. Just once in the game, you can throw that effort bonus flag and the play counts.
Yeah, like the Dolphins had a play earlier where they scored a touchdown with an offensive lineman, but it didn't count because of a legal man. No, that counts. If it's cool, it counts. That's the
if
play.
If it's cool,
just let it. Cool, it'd be cool if you did. Like, okay, that's the rule. But yeah, but it'd be cool if you just let it happen. Like, no one would complain. People would be excited. It's that thing with instant replay, right? Where you score a touchdown, you know, and you get excited because you're looking for first a flag on the field. And then if it's not a flag, then you're looking for the replay to take away all your joy. They've gone too far. I like this idea. We need a flag of nope, veto, play stands because it was cool.
I mean, that's
there's
the
like
thing,
just a fan in the crowd, right? Who's like neutral. You take a Broncos fan to go to the Raider, you know, to go to the Broncos or no, no, I'm sorry. You take a Broncos fan, you put him in the Cardinals-Cowboys game, so he's completely neutral, has no ties to the game, and he gets to decide, well, no, that was cool, that play stands. It's basically like a judge. Like the coach throws the flag out there, then it goes to the independent arbiter. This guy's the fan, the judge, and he gets to decide, yeah, that play was cool, it stands, touchdown. We move on.
That's what the NFL needs. That's it.
They need a fun police, but in the other way, not the fun policing they're doing of flagging Matt Ryan for taunting. What did Matt Ryan say? It's Matt Ryan. Let him say something.
Yeah.
They need the fun police the other way of like, no, that was cool. Let's let it happen instead of, no, that was too cool. That was too fun. Flag. It's football. These guys are running into each other at crazy speeds, just head on collisions, risking their bodies, risking their lives, essentially. And you're going to say, oh, you know, he was out of bounds or because of this stupid rule that doesn't count. Now we're going back. It's all ridiculous. It's the new taunting things are so dumb. There's things that college kids get away with that now NFL players aren't allowed to. Like, treat them like adults. What are we doing?
Yeah, that's right. So, Sean, I hope you got some NFL officials listening to your podcast.
We need to call. Let's write an angry letter to the officiating committee, especially from you. Maybe they'll listen. They'll be like, oh, we need our German friends. Our German fans, we can't ruin our fan base. All that money that we have to potentially get, we're trying to put a game over there. We got to listen to our German fans. So maybe you can be the lead on this.
And I mean, we also got experience with that because in European football, soccer, as you call it, there's also those virtual assistant where you can overturn plays later.
And, VAR.
The VAR. Just for those people who don't know maybe what it is. The VAR. And that's the same thing. They score a goal and you wait like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's terrible.
To see if it was offside or if there was a hand involved or stuff like that. And that takes away the joy.
The best part of football or gear football, the emotions, world football, is the emotion after a goal is one of the greatest things in fan interactions in all of sports. Not even just world football. It's amazing.
I think that's the biggest difference between European football and American football, because European football is so much faster. You know, you don't got those big breaks between the plays. Stuff just it's just flowing, and true. so it hurts even more to take that flow, to take that that speed out of the game by always reviewing everything for 10 minutes.
Same in every sport. They kill the flow. The most important thing in sports is flow, and they ruin it.
Yeah.
All right, let's knock out the couple
of AFC
teams.
The
last couple of AFC teams you wanted to talk about. We'll leave the exciting one for last. What'd you have on the Titans? Obviously, they crushed the Dolphins in an ugly game. They make Tua look terrible. They somehow, because of what happened in the Kansas City game, in the number one seed without Derrick Henry, another, like we're talking about with the Raiders, how the heck have they managed to stay afloat? Great coaching job by Vrabel. Tannehill doesn't look terrible anymore. Foreman has been unreal in Henry's absence. They've kind of still been clicking. What do you think of this Titans team?
Man, a couple of weeks ago, I called it. The team in the AFC are the Titans. Yes, you said.
Oh, so that's why it's on the list. You just want to brag about you being right a couple of weeks ago.
That's it. Yeah, you named Dante Foreman. Amazing effort last match. 132 yards on the ground plus one score. And I think he's really making the absence of Henry more carryable for the Titans. And the news broke today that Henry may be good to go on Sunday in a game with some limited snaps, but he's maybe good to go. He enters the practice field this week. So in the postseason, when Henry is back, you got AJ Brown back in form. He performs again. You got Julio Jones back from the COVID list. I mean, this
what's left of him?
Yeah, but this Titans offense is scary, and if they find a way to win those games, I mean, they just ended a 7-game winning streak of the Dolphins. Just to mention that.
I think the one part about them is what Vrabel's done has been unreal. They, you know, multiple division championships. They've made the playoffs consecutive seasons. This is not what you typically expected of this Titans franchise. And, you know, as we talk about the playoffs, you creep in with these teams are so evenly matched that you creep in with some of the intangibles and all the storylines and old history comes back. that doesn't really apply to this Titans team. Tannehill, of course, you know, not great, but they made the AFC Championship last year. They were at least in that game for a little bit with the Chiefs. They beat the Patriots in New England, you know, basically sent Tom Brady home down to send him packing, and then ended his illustrious New England career with a pick six. Vrabel's not scared to go up against, you know, Belichick. He was playing with him on that punt, if you remember, you know, basically just toying with the rules, pulling a Belichick on Belichick. This team's not going to be scared. They're not going to be scared of weather with the kind of offense that they play. Like you said, two really big bodies that you can kind of just throw it up to and hope for good things in Brown and Jones, even if they're not as consistent as they used to be or they're banged up. And then, of course, the running game hasn't taken a step back without Henry. And then if you put Henry out there, it's going to, you know, elevate back to the insane place that it was. Yeah, I think you're right. This offense is built for this kind of, you know, as they say, as built for playoff football, it's built for January. As much as I don't want to take them seriously because of Tannehill and some of, you know, they lost to the Texans and the Jets, this Titans team is probably legit.
Don't take away too much from Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he's still a pretty solid quarterback.
You're not wrong.
That can handle the game pretty good. I mean, he can just look at the situation he came from. I mean, came as backup to the Titans, took over the job from Marcus Mariota, still starter, lead them to two consecutive AFC South championships. He's not the worst guy.
Exactly. Your tone is a perfect description. He's not the worst. Yeah. You just try to find words for him.
But you don't always need that tremendous
big-time
quarterback. If you got
there's only like offense, three of them, you know, you're not gonna they don't grow on trees. You have to have win with that second tier of okay.
It's still a team game. If you got the balanced offense and a good defense like the Titans have, you don't need the guy.
Yeah. Unless you're Cleveland, because then you can't win with
Baker. Yeah, okay, good.
All right, so let's go in that division. A quarterback who we'll see how it goes. He's really young, but he definitely already looks a lot more exciting than Ryan Tannehill. That is the nameless Joe Burrow. You know, doesn't need a jersey because he plays for the name on the front. Just throws it up to Ja'Marr Chase. He even said in the post game afterwards, like, well, I think Jamar's down there somewhere. God forbid, you know, everything's
just going
terrible around me. Just throw it to him. And then they have Higgins. They have Tyler Boyd as a third option. Mixon has been a pretty solid running back when he's healthy. Defensively, not a lot to talk about with this Bengals team. They, you know, although they played well in that second half, they shut the Chiefs to what? I think there was like 3 points or so in the second half. So they showed up, and they've showed up in some moments. Definitely not a defense that I trust to really lock down. They played well against Lamar Jackson this season. That's kind of been their best performance, minus that second half against Kansas City. So it's the Bengals. I don't expect a ton, but it is really fun to watch, and maybe they can win a game. What do you think of this high-flying duo between Burrow and Chase, which, I mean, everyone's talking about, oh, you know, people were telling they should have taken a tackle, blah, blah, blah. I thought this was going to work from the start. Like, they were amazing in college. If you have a young quarterback, get him his friends. Do everything you can to make him happy and make him more successful. And, oh, by the way, there's this amazing wide receiver who was going to be the number one in his class, but he sat out a season and people kind of overlooked him. That's why he dropped a little bit, and he was dropping passes in training camp. But this guy was going to be amazing. Everybody knew it if you watched him at LSU. No brainer. Yeah. Put those two together and they're repeating their success that they had in college.
Yeah. To be honest, I was not on the side saying, okay, it was a good choice to take a receiver round one.
Yeah, you weren't alone.
Yeah, but as we see, it works, and I'm so excited about what the Bengals are doing offensively right now. I mean, you named it. Just get Burrow the guys he wants, the guys he can connect with, he already had connected with, and make it happen. And you see Ja'Marr Chase sat out a year due to COVID. Micah Parsons sat out a year due to COVID. And where are they now? It doesn't hurt them at all. So they are in the conversation for offensive rookie and defensive rookie of the year. Micah Parsons maybe the defensive player of the year. So that's pretty impressive. And I looked up some pretty exciting numbers from that Bengals offense over the season.
All right, let's hear.
So just first go. First, give Zac Taylor a huge appreciation for what he has done, how he turned around that franchise
True.
since he came there. Just last game, Jamar Chase, 266 yards receiving plus 3 touchdowns is the most in NFL history for a rookie in a single game. Amazing. And I don't know, the play of the game was that curl route from Jamar Chase, which usually brings you like 10, 15 yards if it turns out good.
Not
but
for him.
But surrounded by seven Chiefs defenders, he made a 71-yard yard touchdown. I mean, that play, he's just ran by everyone. He's so fast, this kid. He's big, he's fast, he's such a good target. He has amazing hands. Bengals turnaround. Bengals are just the 9th team in NFL history to win the division after they gone last in the division the year before. So last year they finished last in the AFC North. This year they win it. Amazing.
It's crazy how this happens in the league sometimes. Makes no sense. Especially, you know, you watch something like world football where that's impossible, right? It's so hard, you know, to go from a relegation spot essentially to being first and top, and they still have a chance to, I think, you know, they need a lot of things to happen, but they could even still be the one seed in the AFC. And from where they were, even in parts of this season, they were losing to Chicago, you know, to be where they're at now with a young quarterback like that is insane. Like you said, Zach Taylor deserves a lot of credit for somehow turning this franchise around.
Yeah. And they're still just at a starting point of that because they got such a young, exciting offense. The Bengals offense, 30 plus points for the 7th time this season. Amazing. And the Bengals are the first team in NFL history with combined 4,000 yards throwing, 1,000 yards rushing, and multiple 1,000 plus yards receivers, all younger than 25. So they are just such a young, talented group who already, they are already showing up big time now. So I'm really looking forward for the things to come. If they improve their defense, if they maybe get some improvements on their O-line to protect Joe Burrow a little bit more. I mean, I don't know about the decision on the end of the game to go for that touchdown.
Who knows what was happening? Tony Romo didn't know what was happening. The refs didn't know what was happening. Zach Taylor didn't know what was going on. The Chiefs defense didn't know whether they were supposed to let them score, stop them. That was just a complete mess.
And it was unnecessary that Burrow was hinking off the field, injured on the knee.
True.
By a hit of Matthew. Rather than bring in their backup quarterback, take a knee, kick it, win the game. Easy. No, they have to go for like 3 attempts on throwing and injure their starting quarterback. Don't know about that.
Hey, the Bengals are going to bungle, you know? I can see it happening in the playoffs. Everybody gets excited about this team and they'll find a way to blow it and be Cincinnati again. But like you said, they're set up for the future, so this shouldn't be the only opportunity they get. As we wrap it up, Luis, I'm pretty excited. Obviously, this last week, there's not too much still up for grabs. That Raiders Chargers game is going to be exciting. Kind of some of the wild cards, obviously the AFC East, the Broncos, the Bills and Patriots probably both going to win. So we'll probably end up with the Bills. And then the rematch between those two teams. But I really like how you have 5 solid teams on each side, I think, that could make it to the Super Bowl, which makes it really, really exciting. You know, as good as I think the Packers are and as good as Patrick Mahomes can be, both have shown their vulnerabilities. Like you said, maybe the home field in Lambeau isn't as great as I think it might be. And we kind of talk it up to be. So I think you have the 5 teams in the NFC with obviously the Packers, Bucks, Rams, Cardinals, and Cowboys. And then the 5 in the AFC of the 2 in the AFC East, the Bills and the Pats. And then the division winners elsewhere with the Chiefs, Bengals, and Titans are all legit. And you're going to have a really, really exciting playoffs. As soon as we get to that division around, any of those teams can probably win it. So any last thoughts as we wrap it up here, man?
And it was such a emotional, tremendous episode. I have nothing more to say than I'm excited for what's to come in the postseason. I'm excited for the last regular season game day. Some clinching scenarios still on the line. Raiders Chargers, exciting to watch. And I think the postseason, as you said, you have 5 teams on both sides equally, more or less, with good chances to get in the Super Bowl. So I think we're really going to have a very nice postseason and excited for that.
All right, here's Luis. I'm Sean. Dankeschön, my friend. Thank you all for listening for another edition. Glad to come back. I'll try and make it a little bit more solid on the scheduling, and glad to get back into this. Appreciate you taking the time, Luis, and we'll talk to you again down the road, all right?
Yeah, let's do that, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.